Welcome to Southern Hospitality. I am one of your hosts, Dana Barrett, and of course joined by my co-host, Elizabeth Gordon.
Hello there, Ms. Dana Barrett.
Hello. Are you feeling hospitable this morning?
I am. I had a delectable day of Southern Hospitality yesterday. Those of you that were with us on the morning show heard a little bit about my evening with the Chengdu, China representatives at the trade seminar. And we had a lovely meal at the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead that evening following the trade seminar.
Jealous.
Which, while a meal at the Ritz-Carlton is always a treat, it paled in comparison to my lunch, which was at Alma Casina. So we're lucky to have representatives with us today from my lovely lunch yesterday. First off, let's welcome our hotel guest with us, Mr. Gunnars Develis, who is the Chief Director of Sales and Marketing at the Best Western Plus Inn at the Peach Trees. Gunnars, did I get it right? It sounds like I flubbed the intro there. How did that happen?
Still reveling from the great food you had at Alma Casino yesterday. In actuality, I am just the mere general manager of the Best Western Plus Inn at the Peach Trees in downtown Atlanta. And Jessica Lynn would be my director of sales and marketing.
And we're glad to have Jessica joining us as well.
She's being shy. She's sitting like 17 feet away from the microphone, and she's like, please do not put me on the air.
That's okay. I'm going to choose the right moments.
We need to bring her back like at happy hour, put a few drinks in her, and then put her on the air, I think.
Actually, yes. Pinot Noir, I think, is the choice.
The drink of choice. I think we'll do that. We'll bring her back.
Cheese.
We need to have. We should have put Southern Hospitality at the happy hour.
You know, I was thinking about that yesterday as we were enjoying a glass of wine over our lunch at Alma. And with us also in the studio this morning is John Barkell, who is the general manager of Alma Casino.
He snuck in here at the last second.
The reason I was thinking, not just from a happy hour standpoint, that we should move the show to a later time slot, is just that people that work in the hospitality industry often keep fairly late hours.
Yes, very much so.
And they like to drink, generally speaking.
Yes, but I do want to make a point of order clarification since my owner is listening. Jessica and myself, we did not imbibe. We had soda while, when we say we, was not us.
Yes.
Oh, you were behaving yourselves.
Correct. We had water and a
likely
diet
story,
soda.
Gunnars.
Okay, didn't go over well.
Duly noted.
Yes.
Duly noted.
For the boss, that has been officially put on the record.
Yes.
So let's talk about hospitality. The Inn at the Peach Trees, Best Western.
Yes.
Give us a little background here. Let's start with the exact location for people that might not be familiar with where the hotel is located, and then some basic stats to start us off.
Okay, sure. Just basic stuff. Formerly, we're at 330 West Peachtree here in downtown Atlanta.
Right up the street from us.
Yes. It took us about 5-6 minutes to walk down, and it's a brisk walk, but we did that. And for reference points, we're very close to all the attractions, you know, Coca-Cola World Museum and things like that in Centennial Park, so it's a great location. The Best Western, just for stats, and this is something I discovered when I assumed responsibility for the hotel back in August of last year, Best Western is not a franchise. It's a membership club.
So that's different than a lot of the hotel chains like Marriott or...
Honestly...
What difference is that?
You know? Well, you know, honestly, and I've been doing this for about 40 years. I've worked for all the majors, Marriott and Hilton and Doubletree and Sheraton, and they were all franchises. And so I'm having a lunch at with the regional service manager, Bob Collins, for Best Western, and my first thing is, how is it to work for this franchise? And he said, well, Gunnars, it's not a franchise. It's a membership club. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, first off, there is no franchise. You join part of the club. You're invited. You have to be sponsored. And everybody pays the same flat fee, monthly membership fee, which is about $5,000. So if you've got a 50-room Best Western, you're paying $5,000. If you've got a 200-room Best Western, you're paying $5,000. And the owners of those properties actually run the company, meaning that the corporate office is based in Phoenix, Arizona. as opposed to those being at a corporate office in an ivory tower someplace, are just workers for us. They live and die by the owner majority, our own rules, our own standards, and things like this. And so I found that, like, really? And a little bit skeptical at first, and as the months went by, I realized that it really is a great relationship with them. Best Western, a final detail in Best Western, is listed, as you look at numbers, as the largest hotel company in the world as far as a number of properties and number of rooms, ahead of Holiday Inns and Hilton, Marriott, and so forth. And they're all individually owned by their owners, and they just share that. So that's a unique thing. They've been around for 65 years.
So does that aspect change the unique brand of Southern hospitality that you are able to provide your guests?
It you know, with all due respect to our colleagues, we are all serious about guest relations and providing good hospitality, and most of the industry, almost all the brands, do a superlative job. If I may, not a mea culpa, but maybe just a candid comment, when I was asked to assume responsibility for this property, the Best Western, my thirst for it was, really, a Best Western? I mean, I'm not a snob, but leaning toward that side, saying, I used to be a Marriott guy and a Hilton guy, and that's a Best Western, because I perceived Best Western more family than not, and it is family. But while its reputation is very depending on what state or what quadrant of the United States you live in, overseas, in Europe and in Asia, Best Western is perceived as a four-star property, and the hotels are glorious. And as a consequence, the little 109-room property we operate caters mostly to Europeans and Asians. And it's a joy, and it's a different thing because they eat different things for breakfast.
Oh, yeah, I bet that would be an interesting aspect. Well, we were just talking about what an international city Atlanta has become, and so it sounds like the majority of your guests are coming here from outside of the country. Is this often their first time visiting the United States? And so yes, they're not just getting an Atlanta impression, but a U.S. impression as well.
Well, the Europeans typically have 5 weeks of vacation each year. And they have...
Which is something I would very much like us to adopt here in the U.S., just saying.
How selfish of you.
No. It's very classy and European of me, really.
Yes, but of course very European. But no, five weeks is great, and cash flow is an issue in Europe, and it may become a bigger issue as we are all watching the news. But at this particular point, they come, they spend considerably more than the average traveler here in the United States, and it's all good. We have had to modify our breakfast somewhat by not only providing the regular full breakfast that we serve, but as it relates to the Europeans, we inquired of our guests, and now we serve herring and wine sauce, hard-boiled eggs, slices of ham and cheese, and they prefer hard plates as opposed to the disposable ones. And so it's a different thing from that standpoint.
So a couple of little nuances to providing the guest experience up to what they're expecting.
Very much so.
Now, what are some of the other aspects of the stay, the amenities, the experience of staying at the Best Western and at the Peachtrees that guests really come away with and remember?
It's maybe a cultural thing, but I find that the overseas travelers, for the most part, are really mature when they look at things, and they appreciate most anything. Even the smallest things goes recognized by them by a true appreciation. And oftentimes, in response to the last question, this is their first time they come into Atlanta. A number of them travel, almost like people do in Europe, from Washington to Chicago to Atlanta, and then off to Miami, and then back to Europe or wherever they happen to be coming from. And so what they remember is that Atlanta has got a wonderful amount of entertainment and attractions to see. They love the aquarium. Our hotel is designed more along the European style, so as opposed to what people may perceive a Best Western guest room looking like, and there are some wonderful guest rooms and some average Best Western rooms, these were all designed to be more on the boutique level. Not that we're saying we're a boutique hotel, but we provide a much more intimate experience, and the staff is 100% focused on guest satisfaction. We have, at this point, by the grace of God, no turnover. And as opposed to many places where you have to work over an employee, around, or under an employee, everybody works together and they like each other, which then comes across as a positive feeling for not only our guests, but their perception of us and Atlanta as a whole.
Now, the Best Western has a rich history of how it was founded here in the States. Did you want to talk a little bit about the background?
For those that may find trivia interesting, and I have tremendous amounts of trivia that I am looking to always put upon some innocent dupe out there, but in response to that question, it was created, founded by a gentleman by the name of M.K. Girton back in 1946, and he was a 24-year veteran of hotels at that time, and he lived in California. That was his base of operations, and as he traveled the highways, when he came across a lodging place or a motel that looked good, he would stay there. And if it was worthy, in his opinion, of taking care of families, he would invite them to become part of his network. And in that network, they would just have to maintain good quality and food and stuff like that that they had. And then they became part of his little network of referrals. It wasn't necessarily a sophisticated reservation system, but if you had five hotels referring, go to Joe's Inn, Billy's Inn, or whatever, they created their own foundation for a network system. And today, 65 years later, Best Western domestically has around 2,400 Best Western in the Americas, but a total of about 4,800 in the world. And if I can brag, in December the 23rd, we received recognition that we were in the top 20% best Westerns in the country.
Wow.
And we just opened up on June the 1st, so that's a credit to the owners who produced a fantastic product and to their character in looking for and wonderfully finding 32 employees that just were the perfect storm of just goodness.
So it's been quite a transformation of the property, and you've launched in the market.
Are you really going to let a perfect storm of goodness go by without comment? That is like one of the best lines I've ever heard. A perfect storm of goodness. And you just let it go like it was something that people say all the time. Well, I think Gunners should be a regular guest, I'm just saying. Because that's quite the turn of phrase.
Well, you know, and nobody out there really knows me, but I'm not necessarily politically correct.
What?
But I'm always
candid. Get out
of
here.
I'm always candid, and if somebody is not proper, they can see it in my face. I want to surround myself with people that are the real thing. And for those, by the way, that know that Best Western, this was a property that was not looked upon well. It was built in 1958 and had a good run. And then towards the end of that run, it became referred to as a dump of a place to go to. So the two brothers, Chetan Patel and Dipen Patel, and yes, it may sound self-serving that I have a high opinion of them, but I don't say that without meaning it. Otherwise, I just say something political, like, oh, they're just great to work for. But they actually generally are good business people, savvy business people. They know how to do things. They're good family partners with their children and their wives. And they took this property that was a dump, spent a lot of money on it, and it does not look like anything you'd expect it to look like. So, and we're happy to be there in downtown Atlanta.
The rooms are really nice.
They are, if people go to our website, the photographs, while they could be doctored up, they were actually photographs. They're only about 8 months old, and it's exactly what it is that you get. And all the rooms are the same. There are no dog rooms.
So, good deal. Good stuff.
So, it's all a perfect storm
Let's
of goodness.
Let's talk a little food, and I want to bring John into the conversation.
So, John, is Alma Casina a
Now that we know where we can lay our head, let's talk about where we can fill our belly.
Tough act to follow.
That's right.
So, John Barkell is the general manager for Alma Casino, which is right across the street from our studio here. You guys opened when? It's a relatively new restaurant.
We're just a wee baby. We opened in December, on December 6th.
So, this was a project of Fifth Group Restaurants, which is a very prominent and popular restaurant brand here in Atlanta, a number of highly successful concepts. So a lot to live up to.
So just for the people listening who might not be sure, what are some of the other Fifth Group restaurants?
Obviously, the mothership is kind of the South City Kitchen brand there. We have one in Midtown and one in Vinings. We also have Echo, La Tavla, El Taco, and Bold American Catering.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a few I wasn't sure that were part of the group.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
I'm a regular at Echo.
So each, because each one is so different. It's such a completely unique concept on its own. And Alma is nothing short of that as well. It's sort of a fusion of Mexican, Latin. How would you describe the cuisine?
It's simply modern Mexican with Latin influence.
And the menu, what does it take to put together a menu for a new restaurant concept, especially when you're trying to be kind of innovative and take some bold risks in what you're serving?
Well, I think it starts with great leadership and people with open minds.
No, wait a minute. Did you just call yourself a great leader?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Are you
a perfect
leader?
I
did not. Boss a great leader.
Yes,
oh, okay. It's even better.
Everybody is.
Way to suck up.
But,
I love it.
But, you know, to bring in the right.
The theme of the show today.
How to suck up to your boss.
101.
That's right.
And 102.
We've got some
That's
really
right.
great ownership and some.
Which is an understatement with Fifth Group. But, you know, to bring in the right people, you know, to bring in a chef like Chad Clevenger, who has worked with, you know, many different chefs, came from Denver, Colorado, knows the cuisine, understood the concept, is very open to criticism of his food, getting things correct, and understanding the vision of Alma.
Nice. Now, Gunner's is a regular.
Yes.
You've got several favorites on the menu.
Well, I must share how it happened. My wife and I were invited by John back in January to come to the restaurant. And just prior to a concert at the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra with Chris Botti on February the 5th, we went there and my wife and I sat and she ordered and she said, I quote her, "Gunners, this is the best Mexican food I've had in 25 years. And she's not a tough critic. She's a very polite lady. But when she says something like that, it means something. And her son used to work and live in Tucson, Arizona. We went there many times. And to have this type of an experience, so we chatted with Jessica, and now it's our place of choice to bring clients on a regular basis to that facility because, one, we know the service is great, and the food is, I'm not sure if the word chemistry is right, but everything melds almost like a scientist put together, and it's just brilliant. And it's Mexican, but with a Latin flavor, the Brazilian music, and it's just wonderful. So that's our prime.
The ambiance is great.
Oh,
it's a great place to have a business lunch or a social occasion outing. I had yesterday, I don't know if this is a regular on the menu, the gazpacho soup that was the cantaloupe with crab meat
award-winning.
And habanero. That was unbelievable.
Yes.
And very different. I mean, even when the waiter was telling us about that, I said, is so out there. It has to be.
It was really good.
Amazing.
I know John is a good guy, but the truth is all employees are a direct reflection of their immediate supervisor. So he takes a little back seat and so forth and so on. But what you see is a representation of him, and his standards are very, very high.
So what does it take to pull together a staff and get everybody unified around this is the unique experience we want guests to have here at the restaurant?
Well, you mentioned the diversity of the different kinds of restaurants Fifth Group has. But really, the concepts and the people that we want to bring in are the same. It is people that understand hospitality and want to be hospitable. And I use the term aggressive hospitality all the time, where we kind of want to crumple up regular hospitality and throw it away and just take
nice.
It next level. What is the next thing we could do to just blow away this guest to get that really big wow factor within the four walls? And even sometimes outside the four walls, whether it's the fact that we offer complimentary parking because driving downtown can be stressful. Where am I going to park? Where am I going to go? How am I going to get there? And all of a sudden, here you are, secure parking downtown.
Let's take a detour on that because I want people to really understand how they do that. So if someone's listening right now and they want to come to the restaurant, because I know I'd be like, there's a restaurant downtown, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. So where do they go? How do they get into the parking? Because that's the first thing you have to do when you're coming downtown. The first thing before they walk in your door is to park their car.
Sure, absolutely. And it can be a very, very stressful thing coming downtown, which we knew before we started the venture and now have seen even more. What we do is try to, when we confirm reservations, are you driving, and give great directions. It's 191 building, and that's the garage in which you want to park. During the day, it's real simple. There's two entrances. There's one off of Ellis, and there's one off of Peachtree Center Avenue. At night, it becomes a little bit of a challenge, but the great part of it is it's secure. So when you would take that left or be coming down Peachtree Center Avenue, as soon as you come off of Ellis or pass Ellis, the entrance is about a car and a half length on the left-hand
right
side.
There.
And the gate is down. So a lot of people, again, get a little confused. Can I get in here? What is going on? And if you pull in, there's a little intercom there. You press the button, and security will let you in, and the gate will close behind you. So the great part is, if you have some fear of downtown Atlanta, or here you are confused about parking and where should I go, it's very secure and really a great situation. You just take the elevator right up to the lobby, and you can walk into the restaurant and never have to go outside.
So for people who did not write all that down, when you call to make your reservations, you'll give them those instructions
again.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. And that's part of our routine now that we ask, are you walking or are you driving? We want people to get to our restaurant and not be stressed before they get there.
Yeah.
And then have to make things better. Let's make it a great experience from the very beginning, even the drive-in.
Well, the good thing about his location, he's in the Deloitte building.
Right.
Which is a beautiful building.
And everybody knows that. It's one of the tallest buildings in Atlanta. And it's opposite 200 Peachtree, directly across the street, next to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. So it's an identifiable, like, okay, Peachtree, how long is that? And it's dead center.
Yeah.
And so that's a perfect location. So parking, you know, once you do it one time, if you have to suffer, suffer. You're not going to suffer. You do it one time, you say that was no big deal, and then that will become a regular place that you can hang and have great cocktails and service.
I'm, like, already planning. Okay, let's see. When can I come down? Do you need reservations
exactly.
To come?
Recommended, but not needed.
Okay.
It really depends on. We get a lot of great local flow, but if there is a group in town, they tend to fill us up quickly.
Gotcha.
So I would imagine, right, you're getting a lot of people that are work downtown, so they're already here. I mean, obviously, downtown could use some more upscale restaurants. I was so excited when I saw that Fifth Group was planning to occupy that spot. What about like conventioners that are from out of town? I mean, we do a lot of downtown convention business. Are you starting to see traffic from there who are gracing your doors these days?
We had the urology group in for the last few days.
I saw that they were at the conference.
Does anyone want to make a urology joke now? Gunners? Come on. I know that's right up your alley.
No
pun intended.
I'm at the age where that's not even funny.
See? I knew you'd come through for me.
And what are people saying when they leave and after they've had an amazing meal experience there?
We constantly ask for feedback and get feedback on Yelp and TripAdvisor, and constantly people are coming in and saying, wow, that was fantastic. I'm going to post on Yelp or I'm going to post on TripAdvisor and let other people know that are coming to Atlanta where some experiences in some locations have not been so great. We're very happy that now we know when we come every 6 months, quarterly, once a year, once every 4 years, like the urologist, that we can come in and have a place in Atlanta that's a lot of fun. We're going to get great service and great food, and we want to come back.
Awesome. Now, John, what's your background in hospitality? I got to have lunch with Gunner, so I know a little bit more about him personally. But obviously, this restaurant is relatively new, so what would you do before that?
I was with a large steakhouse. I was a general manager with them for 10 years, a great experience, had bought in and thought I was going to do that forever. Leadership changed and became very unhappy with that. And after we parted ways, I tried to think about what exactly I wanted to do. I knew that I still had a lot to offer in the hospitality industry, and I considered myself a leader, but needed a little break to not make some decisions for a while. So on several occasions, I had met Paul Hemel, who's the general manager of South City Kitchen Midtown. And I said, Paul, I just want to work for a little while. Knowing that not only was I going to be able to take a break, but also aligning myself with a great Atlanta restaurant group.
Right.
So I went and worked with Paul. And at 40 years old, I waited tables and bartended. And it was the best thing I could have ever done. Went and got the passion back and got excited about the hospitality industry and excited about it again. All the while the leadership of Fifth Group was John, let us know when you're ready. Let us know when you're ready to be a leader again. And they set me up in a perfect situation at South City Kitchen in Vinings, which those people who don't get outside of the perimeter need to every now and then. It's a great location, but a little bit, you know, a little bit far out for people that are downtown. So I had a great experience with South City Kitchen, realized that Southern cuisine is very well thought out, that it's not just fried chicken and shrimp and grits, that there are some fantastic ingredients that can be done poorly in some places. But if you take those, if you take those great ingredients and really put some love into it, you can get some great masterpieces in Southern cooking.
You could maybe get a perfect storm of goodness.
Yes, exactly.
Perhaps.
I'd like to put in another plug, please.
Go ahead.
I'm raising my hand.
Raise your hand, yes. Yes, well, you over there.
Although John is in a very tall building, we're not. We happen to be next to a tall building, the SunTrust building on Peachtree. So I think that counts for something.
That does count. And people can walk from your place to John's place very easily.
In less than 9-10 minutes.
So, and if they walk fast, maybe even faster.
Don't observe the stop and go signs as you cross the
just
roadways.
Yeah. Take your life in your hands, because it's very important
that's
to get your
delicious
dinner.
That's why I bring Jessica, because she says, Mr. D, no, wait.
Well, so it's interesting that you mentioned, John, kind of refinding that passion to mm-hmm. serve and be in the hospitality industry. I mean, admittedly, dealing with the public and, you know, with whether it's travelers or eaters, they can
or
be
traveling
a difficult, eaters. Right, difficult group of people to handle sometimes. Where do you guys find that passion, and how do you identify it in the other people that you hire and bring on your team?
Well, as it relates to us, and don't get scared. We threw out the golden rule that the customer is always right about 10 years ago.
Uh-oh.
But we replaced it with, because the customer is not always right. But here's the thing. The mandate is the customer is always to be satisfied. And so taking it from that premise, you don't make it a gray area. The customer is going to be satisfied. And yes, there are difficult customers. But even today, with all this distraction and involvement, lots of other things, travelers are pretty darn good, and they're looking for the same things as everybody else, as a clean accommodations, good food at a good restaurant, and somebody to really listen and hear if they have a need. So we always do what we need to do to make sure the customer is always satisfied.
Satisfied. Interesting.
Yeah.
And I think the luxury is there's a lot of bad leadership and a lot of things going on in restaurants where the light bulb hasn't gone off, that the guest is number one and they walk in the door, and they could have walked into thousands of restaurants
sure.
in this town.
Right. So
and
first
be
really
reason,
excited that they're there
yeah, exactly.
at your place.
And for whatever reason, they walked into your establishment, and you need to be excited about that.
You know, I seem to want to mention this every time we do a hospitality segment, but I have a background in hospitality as well. And I was, went to school for that and was sort of involved at the beginning of my career a little bit.
Here you are in radio.
And here I am in radio. But then I also had a retail business for a long time, which is, also a service business. And I have to say, there was a period in my life in between those things where I said, I don't like people. You know how people always say when you go for a job interview, yeah. why do you want to work here? I love people. And you're like, you know what? I don't like people. But then I sort of realized as I got older and I got back into the retail part of business and was in the service business that way, I actually really do like people. And I really do like interacting with them. Even the difficult ones can be fun to deal with, as long as you look at it that way, that yeah. their satisfaction and that their being there is what's most important, that it's actually really satisfying. To make a guest happy and to have them smiling and knowing when they walk out the door that they are going to go onto Yelp and say this was a great experience.
You're exactly right. You cannot read from a script. How was your stay?
Right.
Have a pleasant day.
Yeah.
It sounds so phony.
Yeah.
And so you generally have to like people.
Yeah.
And, each day when the sun gets up, you have to be running and take care of things. So,
I was at the grocery store the other day, yesterday, I think, actually, and the checkout girl looked up. I started to put my stuff on the conveyor belt, and she looked up and she said, how are you today or something like that? And I said, fine, how are you? And she responded in some way, and she went back to finishing up with the other person or whatever. And then she looked up and she said in the exact same intonation, exactly how she said it before, how are you today? And then she looked at me and she said, oh, sorry. Obviously, I repeat that all day long. Sorry. And I was like, oh, sorry. It happens. But it's totally not the same when it's a script, you know, as when someone's genuinely connecting with you, looking you in the eye and wanting you to be satisfied, happy, enjoying your environment and all of those things.
Sure. And and what's great about it is every day brings a new challenge. And the guests that come in and they have the great experience, the great food, the great service, and they leave and they rave about us and do whatever, that's fantastic. But some of the biggest ambassadors that we have found in with Fifth Group are the people that came in, maybe didn't have such a great experience, whether the server was having an off night, the bartender, the food just wasn't exactly what they wanted. Once they do give us a little feedback, we reach out immediately, make sure that we talk to those guests. And it's amazing how many guests we get for life because we're able to let them know that we actually care and we want them to come back and we want them to have great experiences in our restaurants.
You make an excellent point. Things will go wrong even at the highest quality fashion properties. Everybody has the same issues. It's how you address it.
Totally.
If you address it where the people believe that you really care about them and being satisfied, they'll forgive, excuse, and you have a lifelong relationship.
Absolutely.
And how important is the loyalty factor when you look at your customer relationships and how you're...
Because you guys are both, this is a very transient sort of place to be in downtown where there are a lot of out-of-towners coming into the restaurant. Obviously, there's all out-of-towners coming to the hotel. How important is loyalty? It's a great question, Elizabeth.
Why, thank you, Dana.
Welcome.
You know, that would take a whole another half hour, so I'll try and do this in 20. I'll try and do this in 20 seconds.
And go.
Loyalty specifically is earned, and you have to remember that the more people you show respect to and take care of and generally concerned about, the more loyal. Because with looking at it from a negative point of view in life, people are not expecting a lot from anybody most of the time.
Isn't that sad?
I know. So when they see a genuine thing, they tend to gravitate towards that. So loyalty, the simple mathematical question would be, if we had a 50% loyalty factor, we would have less rooms to sell. You would have less rooms to put people in and so forth. So loyalty is very important. But you got to be genuine. You cannot be reading from a script or be phony.
Yeah.
And I think it's about building relationships. People like to be recognized. They like to be seen.
People do business with people they know and they like.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the secret of all business. People do business with people they know and they like.
It's true. I mean, I will say this. In terms of a hotel, when you're a guest, obviously, you don't necessarily, unless you travel to the same hotel week after week on business or something, you don't really expect to be remembered when you walk in the door that first time. But when you come back downstairs on your way out, at that front desk clerk sort of says, oh, you know, hey, Miss Barrett, great to see you again. Have a good evening.
J.W. Merritt, I'm going to give him the credit because that's where I grew up, and he claimed that it was his statement. He said, forget about the customer, kind of with quotation marks. Take care of your employees. Make it a good place to come to work, and they will always take care of the guest.
Sure.
And that's the secret of moving forward from that standpoint.
Yeah, and I have to say with the Fifth Group, too, I'm like the little extra salesperson over here. But so I mentioned that I go to Echo Fairmont because it's literally right next door to where I live. And when I first moved down there, I was, you know, I'm single and not young. And I wanted to go out, you know, I don't want to be like a single woman at a bar. It's so tacky, right?
a loose woman, you mean?
Yes, like so, like not cool, you know. But I went in one time with a friend, and I was sitting at the bar talking to the bartenders at Echo, and I said, you know, is it weird if I want to come in and get dinner by myself? And they were like, oh no, you know, we have lots of people doing it. Please, you know, feel free, and we'll take care of you and whatever. And the truth is, the two bartenders, they're both still there, so that says something. And it's been a year and a half, you know, they don't move, they like it there. Mm-hmm. But whenever I come in, and I don't go in that often, you know, I'm not like a barfly, but you know, once every couple months or something, every 2 months I'll go in, or 6 weeks, or okay, every other day. And no, but they'll say, you know, they recognize me, they smile, they welcome me back. If they see me on the street, actually, they recognize me and say hello.
It's incredible.
And you know, when I bring in a different date, they, you know, cover for me. And you know, I mean, it's great, you know.
You've seen the images.
They're really great. So I you know, that is the same kind of thing. They're obviously people who like people, or they wouldn't remember me.
Absolutely. And Eric and Brent, when you start talking about those kind of people, that
and of course you know exactly who I meant.
I mean, they are they're exceptional. They're industry leaders. They take what they do seriously. There's no I'm waiting for the next big thing. This is what I do, and I'm going to own it, and I'm going to make the experience of anybody who's sitting directly in front of me the best it could possibly be.
Yeah.
And their memories are phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
I can't even imagine how many people they know, and I'll be there tomorrow night for my third wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. What are you saying, that we should rethink our thought about our clientele going to Echo?
Well, here's the deal. It's a long walk to Echo. Okay. It's only 8 or 9 minutes to us. So,
you're staying at the Best Western, right? Definitely.
But you know what? That brings up an interesting point, John, because obviously the fifth group cares about hiring those kind of people. So sure. I imagine the people you have at your place are similar.
Absolutely. I mean, we have really been fortunate. Obviously, you hire quite a bit and then kind of thin the herd through their choice or our choice. And the people that have stuck around and shown the commitment, the people that come in and say, where is Lisa when she's off? Where is CS when he is off? Is Emily working today? In 5 months to build those kind of relationships and be able to say, well, our experience isn't going to be as good because she or he is not here, but they stay and then they find a new favorite. And whether it's a new favorite drink or meal or server or bartender, it's just one after the other, just great people, really, that get hospitality.
Yeah, we love Matt and Morgan and Susan and Beth.
Yeah.
And
just to name a few.
Yeah.
Barry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is a small world in terms of the hospitality industry. I mean, you guys obviously know each other for a while. You know a lot of other people in the industry. That makes it kind of unique in a certain regard. Does that make it more enjoyable for you to work with other high par venues around the city?
Very much so. And once we establish a relationship with somebody that we know is same of mindset, we can talk about moaning and groaning. We limit that to maybe a few minutes, and then we have in my case, I have a glass of soda, and they have a glass of wine, and we are able to just relax and realize we're not alone in this world, that we share the same common issues and concerns.
But also you can send each other customers, I'm sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
We actually do that in gross, yes.
So we're almost out of time. I always like to cover the alcohol. As you know, I tried to hit on it right off the gate.
Yeah, we like to drink here at the
Happy hours at Alma, anything that we should know about?
When we started Alma, we wanted to do something right off the bat, not see what happy hour is going to do and then make changes. We have a 5 at 5. It's five appetizers and 5 drinks. Two wines, 2 beers, and a cocktail that we do for $5 from 4 to 6.
Nice.
And it's fantastic. I mean, to have the opportunity to come in at a moderate price and enjoy those things during that time is a great deal. And we do get a fantastic happy hour. We have a bar in the lobby and a bar in the restaurant, and it really provides a lot of joy for people who are just getting off of work.
A lot of joy.
A lot of joy.
A good way to say it. Best if you're taking MARTA, you know, because then you can just ride drunk, which
very
is totally fine.
Yes.
Driving, you're going to have to get a room at the Best Western and exactly. Hang out for a little while.
And you have a number of very creative cocktail concoctions over there. Several I'm dying to try. Mr. Winston Salem in particular sounds like
what's the most unusual cocktail you have?
I have to say that, you know, the cocktail program, very, very well thought out. The Keep Your Head Down is probably one of my favorites. It has Woodford Reserve in it, which I think everybody is very familiar with. But Rothman and Winter's Apricot, and then this Velvet, John Taylor's Velvet Falernum, which one of my employees described as putting a Christmas candy in your mouth. But it's this ginger and clove, and it just adds this great effervescence to this cocktail, and it's got a little pineapple juice, and it really is just the blending of that is fantastic. We also have our own barrel of tequila, which is very unique. The owners and our beverage director go down to Herradura, and they actually select a barrel. And our first barrel we thought was going to last 5 to 6 months. And 2.5 months later, We were panicking, saying we need to go get another barrel.
Bunch of lushes in this town.
And when I say we, I was not invited. Hopefully that'll happen soon. But
you got to keep working on that.
Tequila trip.
But they go down and they get to taste a lot of tequila and have a great time. And then about a month later, here comes another barrel.
If you want us to go down and report on that for you, we would be
feel
happy
free.
To.
Feel free. But it really is something that's unique to us that you can't get anywhere else. And there really is a lot of care that's put into our beverage program.
I see this. It's time for one more plug. So here it comes.
Is your building tall?
Our building is four stories, but the unique part, it's not size that matters.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
Quality. We are a four-level property, but what's unique about our property is we have an indoor courtyard. It's like a New Orleans courtyard. We have a bank facility and a courtyard that's wonderful. In fact, the plantings and flowerings there have won awards. For the landscaper, and we have the facility to put in tent structures in there so it can become artsy-fartsy, if I may be allowed to say artsy.
So if you are and fartsy, you can say that too. I mean, you probably do a lot of like family travel or reunions or people that are coming for a group or an event.
Gunnar, how many rooms?
It's 109 rooms.
Okay.
So using naval terms, we're not an aircraft carrier. Not a tugboat either, maybe a cruiser of some sort. But here's the thing, we're more intimate, so we can spend more attention to groups of 60 rooms or 70 rooms as opposed to being at a 1,000 or 2,000 room property. And Jessica Lynn, my director of sales,
she
gave me a little note saying, mention my name again. So once again, Jessica Lynn, my director of sales, very lovely lady. We'll be glad to help anybody out. Our website.
So like a private yacht.
Yeah, there you go.
Our website, by the way, is www.inatthepeachtrees.com, or you can go to the Best Western site and see all the things you need to see, plus the bank rooms and the rooms themselves. And that was my last plug.
Fantastic. Yep. Well, you're right on time because we do need to wrap it up. So, John, where can people go if they want to find out about Alma Casino?
Just fifthgroup.com. You can see all of our restaurants. Please come down and see us and try it out. Like I said, the parking is there, and it makes it really, really convenient. And we want to get a movement downtown, get people to come back downtown again.
We do, too. Yeah. Any special events or anything like that that you guys do at the restaurant besides the happy hour?
We do two things that are really exciting for us, our private dining. We don't necessarily have a private room, but we do have our lobby area, which we use for a lot of private dining. And also we've partnered with Aloha for Aloha To Go, where you can go online and you can actually order food online if you work in the building or one of the surrounding buildings, and you know you're going to get a break at 12:30 and you know you're going to be hungry then. You can go online at 10 o'clock and order then. And then come pick it up when you're ready at 12:30.
Very convenient. And that lobby area is really neat because, I mean, you're in the lobby of this majestic building. It's a very unique experience.
It makes you feel as though you are outside without the outside elements.
Right. The best of both worlds.
Awesome.
There you go, folks. We'll come and get you some Southern hospitality here in downtown Atlanta. Thanks again to our fabulous guests, Gunnar Zavellis.
And did I mention Jessica
Lynn? And Jessica Lynn.
And a very quiet Jessica Lynn.
With the Best Western Plus in at the Peachtrees. And John Varkel, the general manager of Alma Casino.
Thanks for having us.
Dana Barrett, thanks for a great show. This is Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for tuning in to BusinessRadioX.com. We'll talk to you next week.